This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, this is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Arif Roos, and as usual, with me is Mr. Daniel Fernandez. Say hello.
Hello, Arif, and hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us, even though you're forced to stay at home and, you know, keep your distance.
Usually there will be Richard, but he's off on holiday at home.
So that's not a holiday.
It's the only holiday we can get now.
Understandable.
Right. As usual, in this show, we will have two parts. The first part, we'll be talking about the news. We'll backtrack a little bit on the Apple car, and then we'll speak a little bit about Kia and warranties. In part two, we will have a few car launches, a few really interesting car launches, and a used car review of a very, 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 very popular MPV. Is that right, Daniel?
Yes, it is.
All right. So without further ado, let's head to the news. Daniel, remember in the past 2 weeks, we spoke a lot about Apple.
Right.
Apparently, they were talking to Hyundai and Kia, but then this week, they both denied it, right?
Exactly. And the thing is, it's not just DSF writing up this article. It was on CNBC, it was on Bloomberg, it was on Reuters, it was on a lot of Korean and American press websites, you know?
Yeah.
Were all very credible press websites. So now suddenly, what do they say?
Suddenly, Hyundai and Kia came out strongly to say that everything that we mentioned, everything that everybody mentioned on Bloomberg and CNBC and everything, apparently it was just speculation and social media rumors. Mm. Very, very strong rumors.
And the thing is, you see, when this happened, Hyundai shares went up 6.2% and Kia shares went up also 15%, you know? Now, the shares have dropped.
So as it turns out, what happened was that, these two separate companies, Apple and Hyundai Kia, they were each going on their own path of trying to, you know, build partnerships with other manufacturers.
Right.
Specifically at Apple, they have been in discussions with a lot of auto manufacturers around the world about producing the Apple car, while Hyundai Kia looked to work with tech companies to develop their autonomous cars. So I guess what happened was that somebody close to all of these sources must have said that, you know, they may have a chance of working together. But more rumors suggest that Apple are actually in talks with six different Japanese manufacturers.
Exactly. And the rumor, which is now coming in quite strong, says that Apple is actually talking more to Mazda Motor Corporation in Japan and less to the other Japanese car companies. Meanwhile, share prices with all these Japanese car companies has gone up, Mazda the most.
Yeah.
The way I'm looking at it, I could be wrong, but I think this is just a way to make money in the stock market.
I was just thinking that. I was about to point that out because the Apple car was first announced, 2014, 2015, then it died down.
Yes.
And then we are, 3 years away or 2 years away from seeing a proper concept of the Apple car.
Yes.
So I guess, you know, some conspiracy theorists, not us or maybe us, but some conspiracy theorists might say that, you know, this is kind of a way to drum up or remind people that Apple are going to come up with, you know, an EV autonomous car of some sort.
Yes, yes. And, you know, the rest are just making money in the stock market because, you know, car sales have not been the greatest. So what else can you do to make a bit of money? Put a big rumor out there, get involved with the tech company, push your stock price up, make a bit of money. And then after that, when it comes down, who loses? People like you and me.
But it must be said, though, this is what Richard would say, because he would point out all of this tech stuff. But recently, because Apple launched the new iPhones and the new iPads and Macs and everything, they've, I believe, made the most money than ever or something like that. But in any case, the Apple car is still going on. Kia and Hyundai are still looking to develop their autonomous cars with some sort of tech company, but not together for this moment.
And, you know, it's still speculation because who knows? 2 weeks from now, they might say, okay, we've signed the deal and Kia is building it in Georgia like it was originally planned.
Yeah, exactly. Speaking of Kia and Hyundai,
right.
Hyundai and Kia has a history of selling cars with lots of confidence because, as you mentioned quite a while ago, they were one of the first companies around the world or in America and one of the biggest markets to offer, 5-year warranties?
Yeah, they were the first in the world to offer a 5-year factory warranty, not a external warranty, but a full factory warranty.
And that really worked to get people to buy their cars, basically.
Exactly. Of course, you know, Malaysia is not the best place for Hyundai and Kia sales, given so many circumstances. But around the globe, and even as close as Singapore, their sales are just beyond belief.
Just a few notes on the warranty thing, because back in April 2020, Kia Europe launched the Kia Promise. This is right in the middle of the pandemic. So They offered this global warranty extension program for its customers whose movements may be limited due to the pandemic. So this whole Kia Promise covered 142 countries worldwide and an all-original Kia warranty between 1st February and 30th June 2020. If you bought your car between those times, or it was expiring during those times, you would have a little bit of leeway to still, you know, continue that warranty.
Correct.
But in August 2020, they started offering quite an interesting warranty deal, right, Daniel?
Yep. 7 years and 150,000 kilometers.
That's a lot. That's excessive. Yes.
That is pure confidence in the product.
And they launched it on the new Sorento plug-in hybrid EV as well.
So that includes the battery warranty as well.
The other interesting thing is, just last month, in January 2021, Kia America again pushed the bill on the lengthy warranty thing. They offered 10 years, 160,000 kilometer warranty program, inclusive of a 10-year powertrain warranty. They got stuff like basic warranty, roadside assistance, and even rust warranty for 5 years. I guess the question is, could we stand to receive such things from Kia and Hyundai?
Okay, the thing is, I was a little bit confused because the global warranty program comes from Kia Promise, right?
Yeah.
So if that's a global warranty program, how come when the Kia Seltos was launched a month ago, it still gave an only 5-year manufacturer's warranty?
I don't know. I mean,
exactly,
I guess...
Exactly. So we don't know what's really going on. Maybe it's not filtered down to the rest of the world. Maybe it's just in some... more progressive countries, or maybe it's in countries where they have a lot of volume. But I think something like this, they say Kia Promise, hey, promise la the whole world.
They did say global in their press release. But I mean, could just be down to the volume of the cars that they sell here. I mean, it's offering a 10-year warranty program, 160,000 coupled with like warranty, roadside assistance, rust, powertrain and all that stuff. That costs a lot of money on the company or the dealership that's going to bring it,
exactly,
right?
Exactly. Unless they have super confidence in their product.
You know, this extended warranty thing, we've heard recently 7 years, 8 years, 10 years. And it seems like that seems to be kind of the trend when it comes to like electric vehicle batteries and motors.
True.
All of these car companies are offering and have offered battery motor warranties in Malaysia, 8 to 10 years. So I think if I remember correctly, BMW Malaysia on their BMW i3 and their plug-in hybrids, they offered an 8-year warranty on their batteries or something like that.
That's just the battery. To have confidence in an electric vehicle, you have to give a long battery warranty, which has become quite tricky in recent months because some of these warranties also extend to plug-in hybrids.
Yeah.
And sometimes the battery is okay, but everything around the battery is giving problems. And that's not covered by that warranty. It's just the battery. So I think, you know, a lot of car buyers need to be a little bit careful when they're buying these cars. It's very high technology cars. And making sure that warranty, that word warranty, covers exactly what and what it does not cover.
Speaking of that, you know, Volvo Malaysia, one of the first few companies to actually offer those battery warranties, they have recently announced that they are increasing their factory warranty to 5 years for cars starting registered this year.
Yes.
Customers are still entitled to a battery warranty of 8 years or 160,000 kilometers, but the thing is now, after 3 years of ownership of the car, you still send your car to the official Volvo dealer that you buy it from.
Actually, a lot of car companies in Malaysia, I don't want to mention which brand, when they say they offer you a 5-year warranty, actually the first 2 years was from the manufacturer.
Yeah.
And what happens is in the 2 years, they really look after you because what? It's one for one change. That means if something goes wrong, any engine component or part needs to be replaced, they take it out, they send it back to the parent, they replace it, no questions asked, okay?
Yeah.
Now, the following 3 years are actually coming from an extended warranty partner in Malaysia, which is normally an insurance company.
Yeah.
And here lies the biggest problem, which has affected a lot of car owners in the last few years. When it comes to claiming on that additional 3 years, that's when a lot of questions come in. Oh, you know, I think you're not covered, or you didn't know how to drive the car properly, or actually this part is not fully covered. Please read the terms and conditions. Nobody reads the terms and conditions in their car warranty. Nobody even reads their car booklet.
Yeah. So overall, a positive move, a peace of mind for Volvo owners?
Yes. Because the moment you say factory warranty and you guarantee it's a factory warranty, you know for that time period, you don't have to read your warranty booklet.
I suppose it even keeps up the used car value of these Volvos, right?
Definitely keeps up the used car value. And also it gives a chance for the workshops, the official workshops, to keep sustaining and earning a bit of money, because people, when they come in for warranty claims, when parts are changed, the workshop is able to bill back the manufacturer. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
So their overheads are being met even after that. So, you know, they might not make any money on the part, but they actually get money on labor and the running of the workshop, you see?
Well, that's all we have for the news this week. I think pretty revealing discussion about warranties and how it's changing around the world and in Malaysia. But stick around for part two as we will discuss a few new car launches, a Subaru Forester, the new Tesla Model 3, and an Audi e-tron. This has been Cruise Control on BFM 89.9.
Because freedom matters. BFM 89.9.
BFM 89.9, this is Cruise Control, the car show here on BFM. My name is Arif Roos, and as usual, on the phone lines, I have Mr. Daniel Fernandez. Say hello, Daniel.
Hello, Arif. Hello, listeners, and thank you for still listening to us.
So, if you missed part one of the show, obviously, you can head to our website, bfm.my, to listen to the podcast, where we spoke about Kia and their warranties, as well as this whole very, very strong rumor mill surrounding the Apple car. But for now, we are going to be talking about a few car launches that happened this week, one of which was the Subaru Forester GT Lite Edition. And if I'm not mistaken, Daniel, this GT Lite Edition is a step below the GT Edition that they launched a few months ago.
Arif, you're very right. Basically, you know and I know for the last year, Subaru sales for the Forester has not been very good in Malaysia. Not that there's any problem with the product. The problem is with the Proton X70 and the Proton X50 taking so much interest away from all the brands. I'm not talking just with Subaru, with Mazda, with Toyota, with Nissan. You know, you've got a dominance of one player because of a price advantage. And because of that price advantage, you have an issue with all these people wanting to own a car. So, it's pandemic, it's COVID-19, you know, people are looking for the best value for money. So when it comes to car ownership, also in this segment, price plays an important part. So with the competition being priced so low, because of the tax incentives, Subaru had a tough time trying to convince people to take home a Forester GT.
So just to provide a baseline, the Forester GT Edition that was launched late last year, earlier this year, was 178,000.
Correct, right? You're right.
Priced about the same price as the CX-5, maybe.
Hyundai Santa Fe, Mazda CX-8, and all around that price. Volkswagen Tiguan Allspace. And then, of course, the new Toyota Fortuner is around the same price. But then you have Proton coming in at about 110,000.
Yeah.
So of course, general public will say, times are bad. I need to look a bit conservatively at my budget. And of course, the people that will lose out on the sales are all these brands. And it's very obvious because delivery for the Proton X70 is now 4 months.
Yeah.
The X50, the smaller one, is almost 9 to 10 months.
Yeah. So in response to this, the GT Lite Edition is a light edition of the GT.
It's got slightly less equipment. They've reduced the number of equipment to make it a little bit more better priced.
But it still kind of looks like a regular Subaru Forester GT edition because it's still got the body kits. Pretty much looks the same on the outside. The only thing that I guess is missing is the EyeSight system, which is quite big, I think.
Yes. So, at 164,000 for this light edition, it's a bit of a saving, but is it enough to convince people to push up their budget if they're on a tight schedule? So I don't think this is going to make a big impression in the market.
Yeah, me too.
Because if you cannot, imagine, if you can already pay 164,000, 178 is not that far off. But 110 to 164 is a big difference.
I guess what would have worked is like a basic bare to the metal, bare to the bone Subaru Forester.
Okay, think about it. If they did that, and they managed to bring the price down to, say, 120, just for argument's sake.
Yeah.
And 120,000, people say, but the Proton X70 has got A, B, C, D, E, F, G, and then this car has only got A, B, C,
Yeah.
So again, you'll have that issue of people saying, it's a Subaru, it's got symmetrical all-wheel drive, it's got that great boxer engine and build quality, but I want all the toys.
To be fair, that's what matters to a lot of people these days.
Exactly. So next.
Recently, we saw listings for Tesla Model 3 in Singapore and how it's already been open for booking. So this has followed up on news about Tesla from last year when they were looking to hire servicemen and women in Singapore.
Right.
And obviously, this also follows up on the news that they are talking to the Indonesian government about building a battery facility or a factory or an assembly of some sort over there. So they will eventually offer the Model S, the Model X, but now, as mentioned, they are opening bookings for two variants of the Model 3. Those two variants of the Model 3 are the Standard Range Plus, which is kind of like the base model, and it's selling for 350,000 ringgit without COE, which just means without tax.
Exactly. Without local taxes. I mean, Singapore is now telling people, please embrace the whole electric car movement.
Yeah, and we'll get into that later because it's super interesting of what they've done and how much incentives they offer. But the basic model of the Model 3 that will be sold in Singapore is a rear-wheel drive, 5.6 second, 0 to 100, 450 kilometer range. More than enough to drive in a small city like that, I think.
Yeah, I mean, electric cars for Singapore is perfect.
And you can also buy the performance model, which is really, really fast, all-wheel drive, 472,000 ringgit equivalent without COE. 570 kilometers of range. And you can even buy these autonomous driving capabilities as options at a cost of 35,000 ringgit. Do you think that's worth it? I don't think so.
Well, you know, I think for someone in Singapore who's already getting a tax-free, a supposedly tax-free Tesla, paying that extra 35,000 ringgit, which is about 10,000 sing, and you're going to finance it anyway. So I think a lot of people are going to get it just for the fact that they can sit down in the car and listen to us without driving.
Fair enough. Also, obviously, this comes after news this week that Tesla themselves bought $1.5 billion in Bitcoin, which means that you might even get to buy a Tesla in Bitcoin in the near future. And they just announced today that you might even be able to sell your shares to Tesla in exchange for a car. So that's quite interesting, isn't it?
Like we said earlier about Apple and Kia and the whole stock market movement thing. Yeah. All you know, Tesla could be just playing the Bitcoin market to push it up and then sell and then make a bit of money to fund his next project.
That's exactly what a few economists pointed out as well, you know. But in any case, you know, in Singapore, the Tesla Model 3 has already gained about 5,000 bookings and it's just been launched, what, a few days ago, mainly because of Singapore's incentives and initiatives to promote green vehicles.
Yes, and they are going the right direction. And also, you must remember, they are a small country, they're an island. It's easy for them to control this.
Yeah. So they've launched two different things, one of which is the EV Early Adoption Incentive Scheme and the Vehicle Emission Schemes. These are rebates worth together in Singapore dollars, 45,000 Singapore dollars in incentives. All of these incentives obviously helps Singaporeans buy electric cars and push towards green vehicles and cleaner emissions and all that stuff. So I guess, you know, we don't really have to look that far to see what other countries are doing to successfully implement electric cars.
But you see, look at now what Singapore has done. Huh? And then you look at how Norway has done it. You look at how Netherlands has done it. Germany has done it. All these countries are countries with very high exchange rate. You know, their money value is high, right? Now, for the average Singaporean, this price, it's about the price of a Toyota Camry.
Yeah.
Now, if our currency was also equivalently high, that means if our currency was one-to-one with Singapore and high, that means now we're almost 1.2 to US dollar and 1.2 or one-on-one with the Australian dollar, a Tesla will cost the same price as a Toyota Camry in Malaysia. Another example is, like now, the Porsche Taycan, the price starts at 580,000 in Malaysia, right?
Yeah.
580,000 ringgit. Now, imagine if our currency was high, like in Singapore, our ringgit was high, that Porsche Taycan will cost about 200,000 ringgit Malaysia. And suddenly, a whole lot of Malaysians will be able to own a Porsche Taycan. Some who are not so rich will buy a Tesla. And the Renault Zoe and Nissan Leaf will be close to 60 to 70,000 ringgit. Immediately, nobody will be buying normal petrol-powered cars.
Speaking of electric cars and all that stuff, and the Porsche Taycan, launched this week was the Audi e-tron GT. And it's essentially, correct me if I'm wrong, Daniel, it's essentially the same chassis as the Porsche Taycan.
It is, and it shares the same battery pack and all the same features. Because, you know, they're all owned by the same company. It's just that I think it looks a lot better.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not saying looks, actually not say looks a lot better, looks different, but you know, in my point of view, it looks more aggressive, more, the right word is garang, you know?
Yeah.
The Taycan looks too smooth.
Yeah, the Taycan looks more like a polished suit.
Yes.
People are saying that this new e-tron GT, or the RS e-tron GT, of which both have been launched this week, is the Volkswagen Group's most natural competitor to the Tesla Model S, mainly because the Taycan is super expensive and the Audi isn't. But having said that, this Audi e-tron GT apparently is going to be about 20,000 euros more expensive than the upcoming 2021 Tesla Model S, which is quicker in almost every department on paper. But like you said, you know, I think even compared to the Porsche, this Audi is better looking. It seems a bit less gimmicky. It's not overly futuristic. It still seems like a car, right?
Exactly. And you know, no offense to anybody, but you know, in personal taste, I've never liked the look of Teslas because they were just too smooth and too bland. You know, there was no character to a Tesla. Yes, it had great features inside and, you know, and the battery range and everything else. But when it came to design, I think Elon Musk has got, you know, one eye a bit, you know. and then when you look at his Audi, you go, oh, wow, what a good-looking vehicle. The detailing, you know, the lights and everything else.
Yeah. Exactly, totally exactly. And I think even if you compare the interior, right, the Tesla has just one big screen in the center, whereas the Audi and the Taycan has all these wonderful shapes and different materials, whereas the Tesla just seems like a, you know, it almost seems like a boring table.
Yeah, and the thing is it's sometimes it's good to be late to the game. Like, you know, Audi is late to the game, right?
Yeah.
Because when you're late to the game, you can see what everyone else has done. What's the reaction at the showroom level? What's the reaction on social media? It's, you know, like a new Tesla comes out. I'm sure a lot of people say, oh, it's still the same design. Oh, it looks bumpy. You know, it looks too smooth. And then Audi says, okay, people are not happy with the design. Let's play the game right.
Yeah, that's so true. So I guess final question, you know, because there has been many Audi Porsche crossovers in their cars, but it feels like Audi really stepped it up this time. Do you think the Porsche Taycan or the Audi?
Well, it depends. If the price is very close, I'll go for the Porsche simply because of the badge branding. I'm going to be a real ding-dong here. And I'll say this, you know, badge branding. You know, you put down the Porsche key, you put down your Audi key. I'll say, hey, man, looks who's got more money, you know?
Okay, so the two prices. The base model Audi e-tron GT is 100,000 euros. The base model Porsche Taycan is about 140.
So that's a 40% price difference, right? 40% price difference. I don't earn your salary or Richard's salary. So I think I will go for the Audi e-tron, you know? But you guys, you're welcome to go and buy the Porsche Taycan.
Anyway, we should stop dreaming because we're about to do a used car review that fits more.
It fits our salary scale.
Yeah. Our wallet's not that big. So this is a car that's worth about 30,000 ringgit and is about how old, Daniel?
It's already 20 years old.
A 20-year-old car is 30,000 ringgit. And of course, as mentioned before, it's the greatest MPV that I've ever known. The Toyota Estima. And it's the second generation Toyota Estima.
Yes, correct. Now, as always, when we look at a used car, we always get inspiration from someone asking us for advice.
Yep.
So this time, it was a family person, 4 kids, plus he has a helper in the house. He needs a family vehicle. And his previous family vehicle was a Proton Exora.
Yeah.
Okay. So the Proton Exora, of course, has been facelifted recently. It's got a lot of nice new tech inside and all that. But the problem is, his Proton Exora was very tired. And this guy is not earning a lot of money. He's doing okay. His job is secure. His wife's job is secure. His finances are all in place. But he doesn't want to spend too much money on a new vehicle. So he asked me, he said, you know, I can buy a new Exora for 60,000 ringgit. But I really don't want to go down that road. And the thing is, all 7-seater SUVs does not fit his bill because his children have grown. So the third row seat is basically, you can't use it, you know.
No.
Most of the SUVs, you know, yes, you can get in, but you know, the moment you want to go more than 100 kilometers, whoever is at the back is going to be upset. And if you put babies in the back, even with a child seat, they get a little bit claustrophobic, and if there's any problem, you want to reach across to help them out or calm them down or feed them, it's very difficult, you know?
Yeah.
So what you need is something large, something with a possible walkthrough.
Yep.
It's not advisable when the vehicle is moving. But when you need to, you know, seek attention from one of your kids, you want to be able to walk through really quickly, you know?
Yeah, or turn around and give a stern point.
Yes, and then you want rear air conditioning for sure with this weather. Plus, you want to have as reasonable maintenance as possible because you're buying used.
Yep.
And the most important thing is, with everybody, you want something that looks a bit decent, right?
Yeah.
So I personally have always liked the Toyota Estima. And from the first generation, if you look at it right now, it looks a bit dumpy. But when it came out, it was quite attractive.
So let me point something out that was the first generation Toyota Estima is gaining a lot of traction in the US, mainly because they could not believe that it was a rear-wheel drive, mid-engine MPV, and it was a lot of fun.
Yes, yes. And it looked like a bullet train.
Yeah. Yeah.
Some people said it looked like something that Mark and Mindy should be using, you know, like an egg. But anyway, immediately the Estima came to mind because personally, I thought this will always be a great family car for my family. But because we don't have a reason to sell our current old MPV, there's no reason to buy another one.
Yeah.
So I started looking around through the classifieds, and I don't really check prices all the time, but I remember this model, the 2001 model Estima 2.4, used to go last year or the year before for around 40, 50,000 ringgit.
Mm-hmm.
So when my buddy said, you know, his budget was nothing more than 60,000, because a new Exora is just about that price. He doesn't mind buying a used one and spending a bit of money, you know, doing all the little maintenance, a little bit of wear and tear, and then fine, there's no more monthly installments, you know? But when I checked the price, Arif, I was so surprised, really surprised. Prices have dropped to below 30,000.
It's a steal, really.
Yes. You know, and I thought, okay, maybe there's something wrong here. So I checked 4 different used car classifieds, okay? And all of them were all below 30,000 for the spec and model that I was looking for. Mm-hmm. And the best part is there were so many for sale. I'm talking at least a few hundred, you know?
Toyota never sold the Estima officially here, right?
Never. This car was never brought in officially. Every single Estima sold in Malaysia was a grey import, and it was brought in by the thousands.
Yeah.
Because this was the biggest seller before the Alphard and Velfire made its presence felt. So at the time of its arrival in Malaysia, its only real competitor was the Nissan Serena Highway Star, the square boxy one that looks like a miniature Alphard.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, the Nazaria, which has also got a little bit of a curved shape.
Yeah, but the Nazaria was kind of, I mean, it's unreliable.
Yeah, the Nazaria basically was the first generation Kia Carnival. It was cheap and cheerful. At one time, the price went from 110 to 99 to even 89,000 ringgit. So at one time, it sold like crazy. Today, you don't see any on the road.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, I think they've all disintegrated or they've gone into the kampongs and people are using them as second homes.
It was big enough.
Yeah. Or maybe they're just using it for storage space, because honestly, when I was doing this write-up, I was just thinking to myself, every day I go out, I don't see a Nazaria.
Yeah.
But maybe it's in the smaller towns. But never mind. So I looked at the Toyota Estima and I started making a few phone calls. And true, the prices were very reasonable. Now, there were also a lot of 3-liter versions for sale.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, the 3-liter has got almost 210 brake horsepower. It's got more torque and everything else. But fuel consumption is going to be much higher. And this is a family that's not interested in speed, not interested in going up Genting Highlands and trying to break some record, not interested in being a YouTuber and trying to do some fast turns and anything like that. This is someone who just wants to drive from A to B as comfortable as possible. Keep it clean, keep it low, keep it easy on the maintenance.
Yep.
So a 2.4 made perfect sense. We checked around and there were some personal owners selling this car, not only on classifieds, but are also on Facebook Marketplace. And some of them were one owner, still original paint and everything else. You can come and view. But the problem is, you know, some are in Ipoh, some are in Johor. So out of the 10-kilometer radius, we couldn't go and view. So what I did was I gave all the information I managed to get. I gave it to my buddy. I said, okay, here are the ones which I've picked and seen pretty reasonable. Give them a call. Go and view the vehicles. After you view the few around your 10-kilometer radius, the one which you think you're going to finally get, call me. I'll come and view it with you. You know, final viewing.
Yeah.
Now, the funny thing is, after he saw the third unit, he bought it.
On the spot.
He bought it on the spot. I've not seen the vehicle yet because they're going through the whole registration process and everything else.
Yeah.
But I've seen a lot of pictures he took. It's a one-owner vehicle with a family that only had one child. So the rear third row seat was hardly ever used.
The Estima was clearly too much for the family.
Yes. And the thing is, this is not surprising because I have seen Toyota Alphards and Velfires with one baby seat and a mother and a helper. That's it, you know?
I've
seen them even, you know, come for like, you know, when you go to a restaurant, people come and drop you off or at a place of worship or whatever. And you just see three people getting down.
I believe, you know, because the first row, the driver's seat and the front passenger seat is for the driver.
Yes.
The middle seat is for the parent. The ones at the back are for, you know, it's a way to separate the classes.
Correct. So he told me that this was a family, you know, they hardly used it. It was more like the wife, you know, just doing her errands and everything else. So the car is very well looked after. I asked him about the carpets because a lot of people have their children eating and drinking in the car and they spill stuff and it goes everywhere. And, you know, a simple wash and vacuum will not work because insects will start coming in to get all those little sugary stuff and they start living in the car. So I got him to check all that. Everything was fine. You have to pull out the carpets in the corners to make sure there's no insect nests under the carpets. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, you got to move the seats up and down to make sure that the seats roll forward and backward easily.
Yep.
Because these things, you know, when latches break and all that, it's not easy to fix. So if you don't have a lot of kids using the vehicle or a lot of people using the vehicle, all these items don't get used very heavily. Third row aircon vents, you must check to make sure they're working. Because why? That secondary blower, if it's spoiled or if it's not blowing properly, to fix it is not cheap. But when he checked, working fine. Then, of course, general car running condition. Like, you know, by now, people would have changed the head unit. Because it comes from Japan, they would have changed the head unit. But they didn't put a proper one.
Yep.
Because last time, you didn't have Apple CarPlay and Android CarPlay and everything else. But this owner had upgraded to a very new unit, so it was working fine. And then you have to check the sliding doors.
When I was growing up, a lot of my friends' parents had Estimas, and they would always, well, they wouldn't always break, but it was often that they were not working. Let's just put it that way.
Yes. That is another thing you check. Now, the doors were working, but they were not as smooth and fast as they should be. So probably just the runners need to be oiled, or maybe there's, you know, dirt gets trapped in the runners.
Yep.
Like that, which, of course, is not cheap to fix. But even if they're not working, you can still open and close them manually. And anyway, you're buying the car for this price. Don't expect it to be picture perfect.
Yep.
Now, this car came with a front sunroof. Some of them come with two sunroofs, but this one came with a front sunroof. It was working perfectly, which is very important.
Usually the danger with having a sunroof or from, you know, with cars from that age is that they would rust, you know, around the edges. I guess this one didn't have any.
According to him, no, and the pictures didn't see it because still original paint. But you see, if you regularly use these sunroofs, okay, and if you never had a serious accident with the car, actually, you shouldn't have a rusting problem or any problem. The most important thing is sunroofs, like anything else, you have to regularly use them. A lot of Malaysians don't use it. And then suddenly one day when they decide to use it, it fails. And then they say that the car is useless.
Yeah.
It's not a problem with the car. You bought a function, use the function. You know what I mean?
Yep, that is true.
Then, of course, when you drive the vehicle. So I told him when he goes for any of these vehicle test drives, because it's an MPV, I said at some point, whoever is selling it, let them sit in front and drive. And you go to the third row and sit down while they're driving. Mm. The reason for this is because the rear trailing arm, suspension, bushes and all, only when you're sitting right at the back, with the stereo off and the air conditioning blower off, is when you can hear all the creaks and groans of the car.
Yeah.
So he sat at the back. He did hear some creaks and groans when they went over speed bumps, but that's probably just the bushings for the suspension, which a 20-year-old car will have. And I have a feeling that this owner, I've not seen the service record yet, the first owner would have not changed the suspension in the last 20 years. I mean, the suspension bushings, because he's not really using the third row.
I guess it wouldn't, I mean, no load on it, it wouldn't make a sound.
Exactly. So, you know, a little bit of squeaks here and there could be just be age, you know?
Yeah.
So he's now buying the car and he's happy with the price. Now, the advertised price was 31,000 at that point. 31,000. Managed to bring it down to 28,000 ringgit.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, there were cheaper ones for 23 and 24. But higher mileage, there were issues with the vehicles. You know, the car had been resprayed, which is another no-no sign, unless the owner can give you a really good reason why he resprayed. He wanted to change the color or whatever.
Yeah.
So even though he's paying 28,000, it might sound a little bit higher than usual, but I think he's getting a pretty good deal. On top of that, I've asked him to set aside 2,000 to 3,000 ringgit, because after he gets the vehicle, you know, you got to change those bushing in the rear, because he's got four kids, so they're going to sit in the back. On top of that, my friend likes to take outstation drives with the family. So he needs the car to be in tip-top condition.
Yep.
So some wear and tear, you know, power steering fluid, maybe he needs to get those door runners fixed. I don't know. Maybe top up the aircon gas. Maybe he needs to change the tires because, you know, the tires don't look in perfect condition. Your family is going to be in the car, you know?
Yeah. Just going off on that, like, you know, the great value that he bought, a 6,000 ringgit premium on the fact that the previous owner was just a 3-person family. And the rear seat is barely used. The car's in great condition with the sunroof not even rusting or anything. That's worth 6,000 ringgit right there.
You're right, Arif, because you see, a lot of people will say, no, I want to save that 6,000. But sometimes, that saving of 6,000, by the time you do up all this, could add another 10,000, you know?
Yep.
And, you know, I'm not saying it's wrong to buy a car that's been resprayed, but sometimes the respray jobs are done so badly, just enough to sell the car. You understand what I mean?
Yeah.
So I'd rather buy a car with original paint, with a lot of little scratches and dings on them, because then I know what really happened.
It wears its journeys with pride.
Correct, correct. So he's going to be getting the car very soon. I hope to meet him and take it for a test drive, or at least get to sit in the back while he drives it. But what I'm trying to tell people, my listeners, is, if you're on a budget, if you're looking for a family vehicle, if you're looking for something decent enough, there are a lot of Toyota Estimas out there. 20 years old, the model runs from 2001 to 2006.
Yep.
And it's a very nice vehicle to drive because it's not tall, unsightly like some brands, which I don't want to mention. But this looks more like a luxury station wagon. You get what I mean?
Yeah, it's definitely longer than it is taller.
Yes, yes.
It looks very aerodynamic, and I've sat in a few of my friends' Estimas before, and the driving experience or the passenger experience in it has always been great.
Yeah,
I mean, if we were to go on road trips and everything, this would be the car that safely takes 5 or 6 of us, you know, in it.
And the seats are very comfortable.
And just to point out the reliability aspects of it, correct me if I'm wrong again, Daniel, but this engine, the 2.4, came from the Camry.
Correct, you're right.
The chassis, and chances are most of its suspension bits came from the Camry at the same time as well.
It's basically a Camry van.
Yeah. So what's not to like about, you know, a van based on the best car in the world at the time?
Yes. And you know, if you drive around anywhere in Malaysia, you will get parts.
Yes,
I'm talking about drivetrain parts.
Yeah, yeah.
Anywhere in Malaysia, even the smallest town you go, there will be someone who has a Toyota part shop there.
Yeah. One last question for this, because you pointed out, or your friend pointed out, the fact that he wanted to buy a Protonic Zora.
And right.
I'm not sure about the brand new one where Geely has, you know, updated all of the features and given it better NVH and all that stuff. But the Toyota Estima being that old, I don't think the new Xora, the Protonic Zora in general, is as quiet or as comfortable, as family friendly as this. Honestly.
You are so right. There's no comparison because in its day, this was a luxury MPV.
Yeah.
That is a basic MPV. I mean, from his conversation with me on the phone, after sitting in it and even sitting in the third row, he was going like, you know, I can sit in the third row while my son drives, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's comfortable. It's well built. You know, and if the car has never had an accident, you're talking about a solid body, solid fit and finish. And, you know, it still looks good on the road. Nobody will know it's a 20-year-old vehicle.
All yours for 25,000, I guess.
Exactly. I mean, below 30,000, this is it.
That's the final word. So, you just heard a pretty good review of the second generation Toyota Estima. I think me and Daniel both agree it's probably one of the underrated bargains out there in the used car world.
Easily.
Anyway, that's all from Cruise Control tonight. As usual, we will be here at the same time, same place. If you've missed any part of the podcast, you can go to bfm.my to grab the podcast. You can download our app, which is available on any app store. You can visit Daniel's website for some interesting articles like this one on the Toyota Estima at dsf.my. And you can follow us on Instagram at bfmcruisecontrol. You just heard Mr. Daniel Fernandez say goodbye, Daniel.
Goodbye, and thank you for listening.
And this is me, Arif Roos, saying goodbye and happy Chinese year from both of us. This has been Cruise Control on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.